Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Medical Monday, February 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Support comes from Saratoga Hospital, offering urgent care telehealth appointments, connecting patients to local Saratoga Hospital providers for telehealth urgent care, saratogahospital.org. Joining us on this Medical Monday to answer your podiatric questions is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman is a popular guest. We will have a long line before we're done, so call early, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman, your foot calls coming up on Medical Monday, right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and on the line to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a grad of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. If you want to get in the conversation, call early, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org and try to keep your emails, detailed but as brief as possible. But the number once again is 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman, welcome back. How are you?
Ray, it's always good to be here. I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you. And how are you?
Hanging in there, I suppose. We have, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a cracker of a program because there are already a stack of emails and the phone lines are loading up. So we'll go right to the email here. This one came in about an hour ago, and this is from Marcia in Troy. It's rather extensive, but we'll try to get through it. Marcia writes, "Hi, Dr. Tooman. I hear you are a marathon runner, so this is running related. Can you explain the difference between heel striking and mid-striking on the foot while running and what it means to pronate? I believe I am a heel striker, and I also pronate, so I wear stability shoes while running, but I've often heard that if you can get your body to the point where you can run barefoot, that is best. Why is that? I would think cushioned shoes would decrease impact. Are cushioned shoes bad? Also, I find it impossible to tense my abs while running, but I'm told that makes for good form. Would you say this is necessary? For context, I run about 3 miles a day." And, Doug, there are a lot of questions there. I can recap anything you need.
No, I got it, Ray. And we could spend the next hour with Marcia. However, Marcia, here's the first and foremost thing. Enjoy your running. You run for joy. You run for happiness. You run for fitness and health and mindset. And that's the main thing. And if you're not having injuries, all of the things you're concerned about shouldn't be concerned about. Now, for those that are racers or elite runners or trying to improve this or that, yeah, there's ways to dive into everything, and I'm always playing with my form and fitness and all different kinds of things that you can do. And I am not a barefoot runner enthusiast because over the years, after the book Born to Run many years ago, there were many, many injuries, and there were lawsuits from that book that advocated the barefoot running. So it is certainly wonderful for young people who have no foot issues to run, but you want to be in a well-cushioned or a stability shoe. If you do pronate, that means you're rolling to the inside. Whether you're a heel or a midfoot striker really depends upon many things. They're both acceptable, and you're not looking to have one versus the other unless, again, you're an elite runner. So my suggestion, have fun, smile, just be thankful that you're one of the people that can be out there running 3 miles a day in all kinds of weather and enjoy the benefits of running. And if you really like some more intense or personal stuff, we can always have a look at you and evaluate your shoes and your shoe wear patterns and your gait and have fun doing that too.
What about this business about tensing abs while running?
For those that have abs, have abs it.
Very so, nice.
But certainly running with a strong core is always beneficial. So, whether you're focusing on it or not, Having a strong core is beneficial for your health, your back, and even for your running. Whether you're tensing them or not, that's up to you. I tend to not tense my abs just because I can't find them. But for those that can, if you want to tense them a little bit, don't pay too much attention to it because then you're not focusing on other things, the enjoyment of running. But, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Good, strong core.
I mean, is running barefoot a thing? I mean, is there a significant number of people who do this?
Yes, all little babies, you know, between 1 and 2.
All right. No. I mean, among the running set, I mean, you'd step on a nail, broken glass, whatever, you know?
You're absolutely right. And that's why here in the Northeast, we're not so big on that, especially in our weather. There was a big fad for a long time, Ray, where people got into minimalist shoes and the Vibram five-finger shoes. And all of that's great if you have a nice, soft, wonderful place to run and you want to do that, but it does potentially lead to more injuries, although it's a very wonderful thing for those that can do it, but I don't recommend it. We see way too many injuries for regular runners.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest on this Medical Monday, podiatry on the program, and this one from Kathleen. Kathleen writes, "What can you tell me about a foot neuroma and treatment?" And that's from Kathy in Voorheesville.
Hi, Kathy. And neuromas are really common. We see them every day in our offices. A neuroma, for those that don't know what it is, it's a nerve that gets irritated, usually between the third and fourth toes in the ball of the foot or the second and third toes in the ball of the foot. Normally, a nerve may look like a white glistening piece of thick dental floss, bone becomes a neuroma. It often looks like a small chewed up little piece of gum, gets very fibrous and scarred. And there's lots of treatments for neuromas, and those treatments can be anything from changing shoes to orthotic inserts in the shoes to redistribute the weight pressure, cortisone injections, and even surgery to correct it. We do something here also called cryosurgery, which freezes the nerve. But basically, you definitely want to get a good podiatrist looking at your foot and see what's best for your neuroma. Is it early stage, late stage? What kind of treatment's been done? But yes, they're painful, and they can be treated successfully. And at the worst case, if you take the nerve portion out, that's bad. It has no long-term sequelae. Your foot functions normally, and you can be without that and have a wonderful pain-free foot after neuroma excision if necessary. But injections work really well, too.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Tell you what, let's grab a call or two before the first break. Sue in Albany. Sue, you're on.
I have calluses on the bottom of my feet. What can I do to prevent them from forming?
Oh, hi, Sue. Can I ask you how old you are, by chance? Would that be appropriate?
Yeah, 65.
65, okay. And are the calluses on both feet in the same locations?
Different locations, but both feet.
In the ball of the foot?
And the sides.
And the sides of the foot, okay. So calluses are something that occur naturally for a lot of people. They're not necessarily good or bad unless they become painful. Are yours painful, Sue?
Yes.
Okay, so typically if you came to a podiatrist's office, what we would do is we would look at the mechanics behind that. For example, is there a bone protruding or sticking out that makes that get too much pressure? So there's usually some type of irritation, whether it's a metatarsal, a toe, or between the toes, that's causing calluses or corns to form. And, of course, we have to make sure it's just a callus or a corn. They usually are the way you describe it. But in a podiatry office, they may take away the calluses by taking them off with a simple trimming and paring of the calluses. But then we need to figure out why they're occurring, because in a lot of people, they're going to keep recurring even when you take them off. You walk the same way, and the pressures are the same. You may have a bunion. You may have a bunionette on the outside of your foot. You may have a metatarsal that's dropped. So we look to offload those areas or protect them. And if the calluses get very deep, they can be really painful. So if it's just minor, no big deal. If they're painful, I would recommend that you have them looked at to see if there's an underlying cause, Sue, that can be resolved or minimized so that you can not have them develop. But chances are they might continue to develop depending upon where they're located.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome, Sue.
Well, thanks for the call, Sue. We'll take a quick break here. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. It's Podiatry Today on Medical Monday. We'll be right back. Thank you. Vox Pop on WAMC. Medical Monday, Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us, and the number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Brian is in Shelburne Falls. Brian, you're on.
Yes, thank you, Ray. Ray, thank you for doing the show as well as you do, not to mention all the other things you do there.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Ray. And Dr. Tooman, I didn't want to be rude and just hang up, but I think you answered my question from the first person that you spoke to, and I just want to give my time to others and say I really like the way that you're explaining things, and I think you answered my question. So thanks again, and we're going to listen to the rest of the show, Ray.
Brian, thanks so much.
Brian, you know, you're the most pleasant caller we've ever had on this program. Thank you very much. Not that everyone else isn't pleasant. Don't come at me now. Teresa in Stillwater. Teresa, you're on. Hello. Teresa. Try her again. Hello, Teresa. Are you there? Okay, tell you what. If Teresa calls back from Stillwater, we'll get her to the front of the line again. Let's go to Jim in Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
I guess it's callus day. I was going to ask, what was the best way to remove calluses?
Well, Jim, great question. There is no best way. There are different ways. Depends on the callus. Sometimes you can get in the store different callus removers that may have a salicylic acid. But if you have circulation issues or a diabetic, not recommended. Sometimes pumice stones or little emery boards are utilized. And, of course, if somebody is in pain or has an area of irritation around it, best to have the podiatrist look at it and help you remove them. So various ways, Jim, and depends upon the person. There is no best way. As long as you're not causing any pain or irritation and it's not overly sensitive, then just try various things. But I would start off with some simple things. I'm not a big fan of the medications on it, just because you never know if somebody is compromised with their circulation. So emery boards and pumice stones after showers or soaking your foot and Epsom salts and warm water, I'd give that a try, Jim.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us on this Medical Monday. And we go to Barbara in Leverett. Barbara, you're on.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call and for listening, and I really appreciate the way you've been answering questions. So I'm a 65, and I ran, sprinted all my life, and I always found that running barefoot was the way to do it. And I listened to you say that it wasn't caused too many injuries, and that I shouldn't do it that way. And I was just thinking that I'm often told that almost everything I do, I should stop because it causes too many injuries. And I wondered what you thought about that. And I think that perhaps staying active is more important than injuries.
Well, you're absolutely right. Active lifestyle is the number one thing that keeps us young and forever moving forward. So whatever you have to do, Barbara, to be active in the way that gives you the most pleasure and comfort, by all means do it. If you get an injury, you know, we'll deal with it. But everybody's different. It makes us all unique. And there are certainly people out there that can be barefoot in the house or barefoot on the beach, and others that, boy, oh boy, if anything touches the bottom of the foot, they're super sensitive. But running is 3 to 5 times often the body weight. And if it's not done properly with gradual buildup, it does lead to injuries. And that's my only concern for the masses. But for the individuals, do what you love.
Barbara, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today. This email from Grace in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Grace writes, an X-ray revealed that I have a ganglion cyst deep in the middle of my left foot. Is there anything natural that can be done to reduce the cyst, or do I need surgery? And that's from Grace in Foxborough.
Hi, Grace. And Grace, depends upon the location of the ganglion. What is a ganglion? It's kind of like picture, you know, let's say a balloon that's flat, but all of a sudden you start to put some water into it or you blow into it, it gets a little bigger. A ganglion is usually a leak of fluid from a joint, and it extends the joint capsule and forms a pocket. So typically when we see them, they're usually on the top of the foot over a tendon or a joint, and we try not to excise them unless they are painful or recurrent. Usually we pop the bubble, so to speak, so we put a teeny bit of Novocaine or lidocaine in there, and we just introduce a little bit of a needle, and if you don't feel it, we drain the fluid out, and you know, 3 out of 4 times it goes away, 1 out of 4 times it comes back. And if it keeps coming back and it's painful, then yeah, sometimes you have to go in and remove it. But it wouldn't be my first thing to do, as long as it's a ganglion, they're benign, and they're not necessarily harmful, although they can be painful. So try to have it expressed, you know, or aspirated, as we call it. That will be my first recommendation for you, Grace, and then go from there.
Our number here is 1-800-348-2551, and it's podiatry today on Medical Monday. Dr. Douglas Tooman joins us. Let's go to Frank, who is on the road. Frank, where are you on the road?
Right now I'm out about a can of Johari.
All right, man. Well, you're on the line with Dr. Douglas Tooman.
Hi, Doc. How are you today?
I'm great, Frank. Be careful driving.
Yeah, of course. Hands free all the way.
Good.
So I stand on my feet for a living, but for a number of years now I've had an issue with what I believe to be a toenail fungus, thick yellowing, hardening of the toenails. I have severely dry, cracked feet, especially this time of year. And I noticed in the last year, maybe the left heel seems to be, must be my weight. I put a lot of pressure on that area. So I've got multiple problems going on here. Need some advice.
Okay, you do got a potpourri of toe things here going on for sure. So Frank, a lot of the things that you're talking about first, fungus and dry cracked skin on the feet. The dry cracked skin can be either dry cracked skin or it could be a form of fungus as well. Hard to know without looking at it. And the toenail, usually when somebody comes in with what we consider a fungus toenail, we'll take a little clipping of it, send it off to the laboratory, because we want to do two things: confirm it's a fungus and isolate which fungus it is. And then we can offer treatment that's geared towards that. It may be topicals, it may be orals, it may be laser treatments, whatever it may be, to give you the best plan to see if that can be alleviated, remedied, or grow back more normally. Sometimes in really bad cases, we'll take a nail off and get it to grow back or take it off permanently. So these are things that can be done for the fungus. The skin on the bottom, if it's dry, there are good skin creams, usually with some urea, U-R-E-A, base, that can be very helpful. And again, it could be a fungus. And the heel pain, again, like you said, maybe there's a little bit too much, you know, weight on the heels. You got to check the shoes, make sure they're good. And maybe you might be developing something called plantar fasciitis or a heel spur inside your foot. So you sound like a good candidate to go visit a podiatrist and see what they can do for all of your challenges. Does that make sense, Frank?
Yes, sir, it does. I appreciate that.
All right, man. Drive safely. Thank you, Frank. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And looks like Adam in West Stockbridge, you're next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've had this my whole life, at least 30 years probably, what I thought was a plantar's wart. I had things that seemed to be plantar's warts when I was a kid. But this one, it's on the ball of my foot. It's just relentless. It never goes away, no matter what I do. And it's really affected my life, I'd say. Affects the way I walk. I'm totally used to it at this point. But I'd love to know what it is, you know, what I can do about it. And I hope I'm not repeating a question, but... That's my
Adam,
issue.
Adam, you're not repeating a question, and you know these things are challenging. So let me just explain for those listening. A plantar wart is one of the viruses we can get in our body. There are many, the kinds you get on your lip. They're all part of a family of viruses called HPV, human papillomavirus. Now, the one in the bottom of the foot is one of over 100-plus viruses. I would bet, without looking at your foot, that what's on the bottom of your foot is not a wart. But again, without seeing it, you can't tell for sure. There's something in the ball of the foot that can develop, that can look like a wart, and it's called an IPK, which stands for intractable plantar keratosis, which means it's a very deep-seated callus that comes about from excessive pressure under one of the metatarsal bones. So if you've had this for 30 years and hasn't gone away and it's relentless in that same spot, You may have a mechanically induced lesion from one of the bones that may need to be dealt with in a different way than a wart. It's very difficult, and you can go into any office, and they can look at the bottom of your foot and say, that's a wart, that's a callus. Really hard to know unless you specialize in it, and sometimes you have to actually take it out and biopsy it and see is it a wart or a callus and then deal with it. But I don't think it's a wart, but that's just a guess. We're doing telephone conversations. But
sure.
Adam, I would certainly go back and find a good podiatrist that you can get into and get it really checked out, because you may be able to get rid of that thing.
Did you say ITK?
Yes, intractable plantar keratosis, which is basically a deep-seated callus that comes from inside under the bone in the ball of the foot.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Wow, that's amazing. Sounds maybe I'll just stay used to it. But
you
I appreciate
can do that
it.
Too.
Well, Adam, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest, and Judy is in Albany. Hello, Judy, you're on.
Well, hello. I have inherited my mother's feet. I have bunions. I have Morton's neuroma. And I'm somewhat confused. Oh, and I also have hammer toes. And I have been to a number of podiatrists throughout my years, maybe two or three of them. And I've always been told, well, there's really nothing that can be done. You'll have to live with the discomfort of the pain. And then a couple of months ago, I heard you on this program saying, no, there are things that can be done about it. And I just wanted to reaffirm, can these conditions possibly be corrected?
Hi, Judy. So in addition to inheriting your mother's feet, you hopefully inherited her wonderful disposition as well. And yes, they can be treated. And that doesn't mean they should be or have to be. But if somebody, depending upon their age and their health and circulatory status, bunions are removed all the time. It's something that's commonly done. It's what we do. Neuromas can be treated or they can be corrected as well. And hammer toes, you know, again, they can be treated or corrected. There's wonderful new corrections for hammer toes these days. So, yeah, all these things can be helped. And some people would, like Adam, prefer to live with what they have than do that. But if you're suffering with these things and you have pain and you'd like to increase your lifestyle, absolutely. You know, you just may need to go to someone who can look at you in a different way and say, yeah, you can live with this, but you can also do this and look at it in a way that might be fixed.
That would be very encouraging. So I see that Hudson Valley Foot Associates has a number of different offices. So which one would I call, and how would I get to be seen by you?
Ah,
are you my mother? The simplest way is just to call any of the numbers. We have a central switchboard, and they can hook you up with the closest office that's most convenient for you.
All right, Judy, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. This email from Irene in Western Massachusetts. Is Dr. Tooman a fan and or advocate of pedicures?
So for beautifying the feet, absolutely. In my book, Ask the Foot Doctor, I'm just throwing that in here, I have a chapter on beautifying the foot, and pedicures are in there, and I talk about that. And pedicures can be good, and they can be challenging. For example, today I saw someone that did develop a fungus nail from a pedicure. I saw another person that developed an ingrowing toenail from a pedicure. But for the most part, good, clean places where you trust the person, they can make your feet, you know, better. They can remove some calluses. They can help you with your nails. They can just do things to make you feel good and treat yourself. So, but I always recommend this, Irene. Most nail polish can be toxic, the ones that they're putting on there or you buy in the store. And nail polish has formaldehyde and toluene, preservatives and chemicals. Try to get the antifungal, non-toxic nail polishes and bring it with you. And if you want to go to the next step, buy your own nail kit, your nails with nails and things, and bring it with you. So the only person using it is you, and they can do the job for you if you want. This way you don't have the chance of spreading fungus from others' instruments, even if they clean it. So pedicures are fine. Okay. If you want to take the extra precautions, it's highly recommended.
Irene put a second question in here, and this one is regarding age. Is there a point of no return in treating bunions?
No. It really depends on many factors. We've treated bunions in patients in their 90s. It's no different than somebody getting a new knee or a new hip. If it improves your lifestyle and you're a candidate, no. Do we encourage it in later life? Not necessarily, but it depends upon lifestyle and your quality. Can you wear shoes? Can you walk? Does it have arthritic joints in there? So everybody's an individual, and we have to look at every person as such and make a decision together with the patient, the primary care physician, based on so many factors. But yeah, no, there's no age limit. Whatever we can do to help you improve your lifestyle. We want to keep you walking. And, you know, that's good for your heart. It's good for your health. So if your feet aren't allowing you to walk, the more things we can do to help you do that, the better your life is going to be.
Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us today on this Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. Judy in Stratford. Judy, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Tooman, and thanks for your show. I've had a bout of plantar fasciitis that was pretty persistent. It's kept me off my foot for about 9 months, actually. I mean, as far as exercising and walking and so forth. So I put on a little weight, but I want to get back into walking again. You know, it doesn't hurt anymore. So I want to know how I can do that without re-injuring the foot again.
Well, it's a great question, Judy. And my question is, are you all better now?
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Great. All right. So if you're pain-free at this point, then getting back to exercise, walking. Think of this, a few things just to go over. One is spring training. Nobody goes right into the season and pitches 9 innings before they have spring training and they build into it. So it's a gradual buildup of the stresses. So you don't want to make up for lost time. Start easy and build up slowly, slow walks and so on and so forth. Second thing is get yourself a new pair of shoes. There's a few brands I love. One is called Hoka, H-O-K-A, very thick bottoms, very well cushioned. There's Brooks, there's Ultra, New Balance. Make sure you're starting off with something new. Number three, did you get orthotics? Because sometimes it's the mechanical issues that cause the plantar fasciitis, and if we can support the arch and minimize pronation, that goes a long way. Stretching is number four. Stretching your calf muscles and stretching your foot muscles, that helps prevent plantar fasciitis. Massage. So there's a whole bunch of things that you can do, and hopefully you're under the guidance of somebody that can help you get back under there, under the walking regimen. But if not, you know, feel free to, you know, visit a podiatrist and get a plan to get back, get a pair of orthotics if that's indicated. But gradual, slow, easy, good shoes, stretching, those are all helpful things for you, Judy. No reason you shouldn't be able to get back to exercise walking.
Judy, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. And one more here before the next break. George in Wappingers Falls. George, you're on.
Hello. I had a pulmonary embolism in October. But I like to walk, I like to run, and I like to bicycle. And even after I do all of these things, I still get extremely painful, strikingly painful cramps in my legs. And I try to determine on my own whether this is due to lack of exercise or because of the exercise. And I want to remedy it because when I get these cramps, they're severe, they're debilitating, they're extremely painful. My muscles stiffen up like cement, and I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I don't know whether I should take a pain reliever, drink water, or have a beer. You know, any remediation support can help. Thank you.
Okay. Well, George, you know, obviously a PE, for those that don't know, it's a pulmonary embolus. It's a blood clot that people can get in their lungs, and obviously it can be fatal. Thankfully, you're alive to walk, you know, run and cycle another day. So my first recommendation is that we haven't met, obviously, but when somebody gets cramps in their legs and they have a history of vascular challenges, you have to go to a vascular doctor and check your circulation to make sure that there's no blockages in the legs, no residual anything. And that's not the cause of your clot, of your cramps. If you rule that out and there's zero circulation issues, then you have to look at other things such as stretching and nutritional components. Are you deficient in something? Not an easy thing to diagnose over the phone, but number one is absolutely get to a vascular doctor or a vascular lab and have an examination. It's a non-invasive vascular exam where they make sure there's no blockages into your legs. And if that's not the case, then there's always ways to work these things out. And hopefully you can enjoy all of the things, water, you know, and even a beer. But cramps can be extremely painful, but they can also be extremely serious if it's caused by a vascular issue. So on the phone, that's the first thing I would tell you. After that, we can get back on the phone or something and give you other advice. But that's number one, George. Does that make sense?
Thank you, George, very much for the call. By the way, before we take a break here, do you ever get to the point where you prescribe having a beer?
Every Friday night.
Yeah, I tell you what, let's have one now. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest on this Medical Monday. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop. It's Medical Monday. Dr. Douglas Tooman is here to talk podiatry with you at 800-348-2551. And Dr. Tooman will run through a few emails here before we get back to the phones. This one's from Jerry, with a G. Jerry says, I have Raynaud's syndrome, and it seems to have gotten worse in my toes during this cold winter season. I wear wool socks all the time, but my feet still get cold. Now I seem to have red spots, sores on my toes. Is there any treatment I can do to help this situation? I'm a cross-country skier and love being outside in the winter. And that's from Jerry with a G.
Hey, Jerry with a G. And gee whiz, yes, this is a big challenge. For those that don't know what Raynaud's, we also have another name depending upon the individual. It's also can be called chilblains or Raynaud's. And basically, it's intolerance to the cold. And it's something called a vasospasm in the small little tiny blood vessels, usually affecting the toes, maybe the fingers, the nose. So your little vessels, your little arteries have little tiny muscles inside them, hard to believe. And when they get exposed to cold, that goes into a spasm, that muscle, and it can constrict the blood flow to the toes. Now, obviously we live in the Northeast. I see it all the time in the office. And other than a diabetic or someone with poor circulation, it can be very painful. Nobody's ever lost a toe or get gangrene in my office. But nonetheless, we counsel patients on many things to do. And then there are the medical treatments as well. Jerry, you might want to try a few things. Number one is a battery-operated heated insole. There's one brand I could think of called Hottronix. And you can plug in the temperature and charge them overnight, put it on the base of the shoe, and it'll keep your feet at a warm temperature, trying to prevent those spasms. Those red splotchy areas at the tip of the toes, they can blister and they can become very painful. Make sure you have enough room in the toes of the shoe so your toes can move around. The wool socks are great. Put your feet by space heaters, warm soaks, maybe with some Epsom salts. Excuse me. We'll often do injections in our office for those really bad cases, which cause vasodilation of the toes to get the blood flow back and warm the feet up. I always prescribe, in addition to a beer on Fridays, a trip to warm weather, maybe Florida, in the middle of winter for my patients with Raynaud's or chilblains. So think about a midwinter vacation. And very important, you wear, you know, heat the car up. Just don't expose yourself. Keep the toes as warm as you can. But there are medications you can be put on in the winter. There are beta blockers. There's also topical medicines you can use. So, Jerry, there are things you can do. And it's been a cold winter, so I know you're suffering with this. But, yes, you can do some things. Right. So look into it.
All right, one more question here via email, Doug, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one is from Janice. Janice says, I saw a podiatrist who suggested I have the tendinotomy on my baby toe to deal with a flexible hammer toe, possibly due to a very high arch on my foot and the fact that my second toe never healed properly from a break and now has post-traumatic arthritis. I'm 67 years old, in good health. I'm hesitant to do this and wonder if there's an alternative. I've been walking barefoot inside for a year and using yoga toes periodically without much improvement. What would you suggest? And that is from Janice.
Hi, Janice. So, Janice, we're very big on tenotomies. The reason that we're big on it is that if the toe has some flexibility to it and it's not that rigid, it's a very simple, in most cases, in offices where we do it. Literally, it's a little bit of an anesthetic, and you just basically, with a tenotomy, releasing the tendon that's on the bottom. Tendons, if you look at your hand, you can see them on the top of your hand when you wiggle your fingers. Once the toes, we just basically release them, and it allows the toes to take on a more straight appearance and gets rid of some of the contracture. It's easy to do, easy to heal from, and surgically they can be very effective. So I recommend that. You've used the yoga toes. There's something called correct toes, similar to yoga toes. You can stretch them, but if this has been a long-term problem, hasn't been resolving, I wouldn't hesitate to consider that tenotomy. I think it's an excellent procedure. Simple, easy to heal from, Janice.
And Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. Joe is in Albany. Joe, you're on.
Dr. Tooman, I had a bunion shaved about 3 years ago on my right foot, and I'm having some pain there, but I do walk each day now on a treadmill. I'm wondering if it's possible to buy a 7E with shoe. I can't find one anywhere.
That's a good question. I'll give you a brand name of a shoe that comes in a very wide forefoot for bunions. So if you write this down, it's not necessarily a 7E or a 6E or a 5E, but very good for patients with bunions. And the brand name is Altra, A-L-T-R-A. And that's something you can try. The other thing you can do, Joe, is, you know, if you put your foot into your sneaker and just mark the spot where it rubs, then, of course, take your foot out of the shoe, and where the pen mark is, just make a little slit there in the shoe. Doesn't it be a big hole? Just a little slit, and that'll allow that area to expand the shoe a teeny bit. Try that with one of your older shoes first, and it might help you. You know, 5E and 6E are usually the max. I don't know where you can get a 7E, but there are some brands out there you can get extra wide, like New Balance and Atrex and Apex. Those are a few brand names. If you call the company's customer service, they might be able to tell you. But try the Altra brand, too. It might help you. But challenge.
The first one, A-L-T-R-A?
A-L-T-R-A, yeah. I love that for walking.
A-L-T-R-A.
Okay, Joe, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, I would suggest, obviously, that you take your foot out of the shoe before you try cutting a slit in it, right?
Yes, I have to be clear on that,
okay.
Ray.
Yeah, our legal department would want that stressed. Mike and Ghent. Yes. Mike, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Hey, you know, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, you're on.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks a lot. So recently I discovered that I had some slightly reddish irritation on one toe, on one foot. And I thought maybe that it just rubbed inside my boot or something like that. It didn't really seem to go away. And over the last couple of weeks, I had the same kind of irritation over a couple of more toes and now on one toe on the other foot, along with a little bit of bruising at the tip of some of those toes. I was worried initially that it might be frostbite, but now I'm worried that it might be a pre-diabetic presentation. You have any ideas based on not seeing it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I'm not sure if you heard us talk about Jerry with Raynaud's or chilblains.
I did,
yes. One of the more common presentations of this chilblains is red spots at the tips of the toes. And in the wintertime and now getting it on multiple toes, if your toes feel cold to you, that's more likely the issue. How old are you now, may I ask?
I'm 60 years old. I do have a bunch of underlying health conditions, but I've never had any issues with my feet at all.
Correct. So I would say if you feel your toes and they feel kind of cold to you, certainly the Raynaud's or chilblains would be my first suspicion. But are you diabetic, mm-hmm. or are you just thinking you're pre-diabetic?
I am not diabetic, but okay. With the amount of baked goods I've been inhaling during the pandemic, I'm worried that I may be heading in that direction.
Mm. Well, you certainly may want to go get your blood sugars tested just to be sure, because you know there are a lot of pre-diabetics out there, and you want to know. And then also you can get your circulation checked. But I have a feeling that if you just keep your feet warm instead of the cold a little bit, some of those red spots will eventually fade over the next couple of weeks.
Mike, thanks very much for the call. Doug Tooman is our guest today. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates, and the number is 800-348-2551. Linda in Colony. Linda.
Hi, thanks.
Sure.
Back several months ago, I had a lump on the back of my left foot, and I did go to a podiatrist, and he said that I had Achilles tendonitis and a bone spur, and he gave me some, he prescribed topical cream, and that was pretty much before COVID hit, and then COVID hit, and I have not been back to the doctor since. The lump is still there. It's painful for wearing some kinds of shoes. And I was wondering, with the bone spur, is there anything I can do about that? I'm hoping it doesn't ever need surgery. Thank you.
Well, Linda, it's a great question. It can be very challenging areas. So in the back of your foot, there is, of course, your calf muscles. Calf muscles form your Achilles tendon. Your Achilles tendon attaches to the back of the heel bone. And sometimes that tendon-bone interface can be a little bit tight, and sometimes people have tight muscles or strong muscles. It pulls and pulls and pulls every day. The job of the Achilles tendon when you walk is to pull your heel off the ground. So over time, a bone spur develops where the tendon attaches to the bone, which is a place that we get heel spurs on the back or sometimes the bottom. The ones that are more difficult to treat are yours in the back of the heel. Once that bone spur is there, the enlargement will stay. However, the pain can be made to be resolved. And if not by the topicals, there are things we do. We do a procedure called radial pulse therapy, RPT, non-invasive. There are things you can do with physical therapy. There are things you can do with heel lifts, orthotics, all of these things to minimize the stress placed on the insertion of the Achilles tendon to the placement in the back of the heel. So lots of things we do, and we can be successful. I would say 1 out of 20, we have to get the spur out, which is a pain for the painful nuisance for the patient because it's a, you know, immobilization and debilitating procedure. However, we can often rectify these things non-surgically, and I would say as soon as you feel like going back, go back and see what the next steps are to help you because there are many more things to do. And we don't do a lot of cortisone injections back there, so that's not something that'll happen because you can disrupt the tendon from its attachment and basically bowing the tendon, so we try to avoid cortisone in that location. But many other treatments are available, and of course even surgery, but we try to avoid that, like you said, Linda. So yeah, get back as soon as you feel comfortable going back to the doctor. Most offices are very safe to go to these days when you feel comfortable. Please revisit, see what the next steps are for you.
Linda, thanks a lot for that one. And let's go to Waterford and Deborah. Waterford, you're on with Douglas Tooman. Deborah, go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. So I don't know if my issue could be helped by what you spoke of to another caller. I think you said tenotomy.
Uh-huh.
How do you spell
that?
Yeah,
what is your issue, though? What is your issue, Deborah?
All right. So here's the deal. I had bunion surgery on my right foot, and that helped. And I had a pin put in my second toe, so it stopped moving on top of my thumb toe. Now my other toes are moving to the left. My third toe is the knuckle's kind of elevated, and the fourth
right.
toe is going under the third toe.
So,
and I loved
be,
when you said
yeah.
you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deborah, you know, just because we're getting close to the hour here, the challenges that you have, you sound like you have a lot of toe issues. So sometimes
yeah.
patients that have more minor toe issues, the tenotomy will be the procedure of choice. When you have a lot of issues, you may have to have other things done to straighten the toes. So whether you're a candidate or not will be up to the person evaluating your toes. But I would certainly have it looked at to see if you're a candidate for that. But it sounds like you also are one that inherited mom's or grandma's feet.
And, you are absolutely you know. Correct because I wear, I pronate, and I've got great orthotics. and I'm not in pain now. So do you think I should just leave it?
If you're not in pain, that's the number one reason to fix something. If you're comfortable with it, there's okay. nothing wrong with living with it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome, Deborah.
And let's see. We'll go over to Reggie and Saugerties. Reggie, only about 90 seconds or so here.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes. As a kid, I got my toes crushed on my right foot. And ever since then, they've been the nails just grow really regularly. You know, they won't grow smooth. They kind of like one side is they grow like a pyramid on a big toe.
Right. And yeah.
But and towards
so Reggie,
the yes.
Yeah. Let mm-hmm. me ask this. We're running close to the end here. So you had an injury where your toes were crushed. You damaged the roots of where the nails grow from, in addition to crushing the bones. So the nails are incapable of growing normally. So if you can live with it, live with it. If not, well, right down the block here in Kingston, we will often get rid of those challenging nails on a permanent basis so they stop growing abnormally, and you can have some more peace of mind and comfort.
Now, wait a minute. You'll take the nail out forever, and then he'll have no nail
yes.
on his toe?
It's a wonderful procedure, Ray and Reggie. And it's a permanent correction, just like you can do, you know, let's say, removal of hair and make it not come back.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing with a nail. You can make the nail not come back. And so many people have painful, deformed nails. It's a wonderful thing to finally get rid of that.
But don't you need to have a nail, though? Do you put plastic
no.
on it or something?
You don't. That's one of the fallacies that we have here. We used to climb trees, and we needed them then, but now we have 2 feet in the ground, and they just cause ingrowing toenails and fungus nails and put podiatrist kids through college, so you don't really need them anymore.
Well, Dr. Douglas Tubman, we are done here. Thank you, sir, for being here, and stay well. You're not marathon running right now. It's too cold and snowy, right?
I run on my treadmill and occasionally outside, and looking forward to getting back out there.
Well, you got a couple of months to wait, I think. But Douglas Tubman, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ray. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah. Support comes from New York Oncology Hematology, 34 cancer providers across 6 Capital Region locations, offering second opinions at virtual visits, NewYorkOncology.com. Once again, thanks to Dr. Douglas Tubman for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for writing on the email. And it worked out pretty well. Nice job, everybody. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Now, tomorrow, we have a copyright forum scheduled. Here's the thing. The impeachment trial may well be underway by then, in which case we will air the impeachment trial. If it hasn't started, then we will do the copyright forum. Either way you win, compelling radio lies ahead at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow. Right now, stand by for the Media Project.